On Friday, September 28th, the Norris Group proudly presented its 11th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts joined Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, tech disruption, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event would not have been possible without the generous support of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Inland Empire Real Estate Investment Club, Think Realty, Wilson Investment Properties, Coach Fullerton, First Lending Solutions, Property Radar, the Apartment Owners Association, MVT Productions, and Realty 411. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information and see Amazon Prime or YouTube for past events.
We created the Roney Award in honor of Jim Rohn, the man that changed my entire life in 3 hours in 1981. Got drugged to a seminar I didn't want to go to, sat in the very front table, which I really hated. I was told it was a three-hour long deal, and I thought, there's no way I'll make it. That's six sermons, man. I can't stand it. About 10 minutes into it, I wrote my first note on top of the page. And it's one of many notes. I still have them in my, it's all broken, ripped up binder. One day I'll bring it up here. But he changed my entire life. And so we created this award for people that have had an amazing impact on other people's lives. And today we add another person to that list of distinguished people. This list of people, very different, but they have two things that are very much in common. They positively affected the people they taught, and they had a great reputation. Tonight we're going to honor Fixer Jay, Jay DeSima. He's a seasoned real estate investor with nearly 50 years of experience since the early 70s. He's specializing in fixers, fixing up ugly homes and small apartment buildings. Today, Jay spends the majority of his time managing and overseeing his investment houses and training others who wish to pursue the lucrative profession. We have a video to show you of people whose lives you have impacted. And we can start that right now.
When I think of you, I think of three words. I think of smart, funny, and a gifted teacher and writer. So maybe that's four words. But your writings and your teachings are easy to understand and always entertaining. And as your students will testify, they really work.
Through Jay's books, lectures, and seminars, he shows a way to buying ugly properties or fixer-uppers, renting them, and turning them into cash flow and profit.
He's got an awesome model that he uses that's very unique, that not a lot of people are using, and he'll give you all of the data that you need in order to get that mastered.
One time after you helped me buy 85 properties, I thought I was just really hot real estate investor. And one day on one of our telephone mentoring calls, when I had a problem, you said, "Dan, you really just have your name on 82 deeds or 85 deeds. I said, "What do you mean by that?" He says, "Well, you have to manage these things now. If you get into the management, that's where you're going to make the big money over the years."
You've really been inspirational on how to run a business and treat people fairly.
I first met Jay DeSima back in the mid-90s, and I was so impressed with him that I drove the 10 hours all the way to Redding, California to take his great boot camp on buying houses.
You're full of knowledge and wisdom. With your white hair and gold teeth, you are handsome. But most importantly, Jay, you are genuine, real McCoy.
You have been such an inspiration and helped us, so many people, friends of mine and myself, with your books and your classes.
Appreciate the books, appreciate the wisdom.
Thank you so much for the decades you've given us, for the help you've given each and every one of us here at NorCalRIA.
You're one of the few people that I always refer students to, the real deal, if there ever was one.
He invited me, and unknown at the time, to speak on his cruise, where I got to meet Dan and his beautiful wife, Victoria Shea. Jay said he liked my writing style back in the day in my newsletter so much that without me knowing it, he called his senior editor at Wiley & Sons, and he convinced them to let this unknown guy write a book as an unpublished author.
I've known Jay DeSima for 20 years. In that time, he's been my friend and mentor. I can't say enough about Jay's professionalism and extensive knowledge of the real estate investor market.
You're going to be a better real estate investor and a better person for working with him.
He has a way of really making you believe that you can believe in yourself, that you can do this for yourself and get it off the ground.
Loved learning from you over the years, really enjoyed all of your knowledge, all your discussion, all your information, but more importantly, your wisdom. And thank you for sharing that wisdom with all of us.
Thank you for your input into my life, into my friends' lives, and so many people in helping us to think about real estate in a different way.
You always said, make sure you make this business a business, not a hobby.
I've been so grateful for the inspiration, the leadership, and the integrity which you taught me to run a business with.
He always gives us such great advice.
You truly are one of a kind, a category of one.
Congratulations, Jay. You've earned it.
Congratulations on an honor well deserved.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Jay. We love you.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jay. You're the best.
Thank you very much for all you've done.
Thank you.
I also might say he sold over 250,000 books, and not very many of us have ever sold one. So congratulations. That's heavy.
Well, that is heavy.
That is heavy.
If you can't hurt somebody with an award, it doesn't count.
If I were to drop this, you know, I'm kind of weakened here in my old age, but I mean... I haven't got a foundation this strong on any of my houses. I really haven't.
That's classic. All right. Congratulations, my friend. All right.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you for everything, everybody. And were those paid announcements?
No, they weren't.
I don't know how you got Shab to recommend me, my gosh. But, you know, I'm very, very thankful for this. I've been in this business, I hate to say this, over 50 years. It's been a delight all the way through. And when Bruce called me here a few months back and told me that he was going to present me with this award, I asked him, I says, is this anything like an Oscar? It doesn't look too much like one, does it?
No.
But I think he said to me, it's about as close as an old fixer guy like you will ever get to Hollywood. So I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, this award to me is just as good as an Oscar. And I'll tell you something that is a little bit different between the Oscars and me right here tonight. I am not going to badmouth our country.
Yay.
and the free enterprise system that made me a successful real estate investor. Again, thanks all of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, buddy. We are now going to start asking questions to really smart people. What's fun about this is I get to ask some questions I want answers to myself, and you've also given me some questions that you would like answers to, so it'll be fun tonight. We're going to have two gentlemen come up here that have been here before. Doug Duncan. Doug is Fannie Mae's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist. He's responsible for providing all forecasts and analysis on the economy, housing, and mortgage markets for Fannie Mae. He is considered one of the top real estate economists in the world. He's also been a big supporter of real estate investors, having gotten several of us to Fannie Mae and gotten to speak our mind and see if we could convince them to extend financing to investors. So Doug, welcome back again. And John Burns. Yeah, those two would be better. John Burns is the CEO and founder of John Burns Real Estate Consulting. He helps business executives make informed housing and industry investment decisions by giving them the most accurate analysis and portfolio investment advice possible. John is co-author of Big Shifts Ahead, a book that makes demographic trends easier to understand, quantify, and anticipate. We'd welcome you back too, John. You know, it's funny. I worked 18 hours on these questions.
I believe it.
But then I get in the room, and everything that you see blue marked is a change after eight, or an addition. So it never ends, and you finally just say, okay.
Well, my forecast is like that.
Oh, that? I hadn't thought of this when I actually typed it up and printed it out, but I think maybe I'll open with this, and I'll start with John. A year ago, this is a year ago that you were here, a year has passed. Any surprises for you, something you thought wouldn't occur that has?
Well, I didn't think we'd have a tax act. That was a big stimulus to the economy and was a big change.
Okay.
That would be the biggest thing I think I'm surprised by.
Okay. I think maybe, do they need to speak close to the mic?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, you got almost eaten.
It was the tax act.
and Doug?
I think that's true. That wasn't in our forecast at that time. I would agree that that's probably the biggest thing. We were not surprised by the fact that there wasn't a health care bill. That's yet to be seen.
Okay. John, you wrote Big Shifts Ahead, one of the best books ever in our industry. And there's no joke. That's it only took you 9,000 hours to get a $20 product produced.
And I don't have 250,000 sales either, so congratulations to you.
Really? Well,
not yet anyway.
It's just one of those books. It really helps you understand maybe what's coming, and that's an important thing. Can you explain, there's four factors, influential factors. Can you talk just what those are, and then we'll go from there?
Yeah, so everybody talks about the noise, what's this, what's that, but it helped me to group it into four things. So usually there's some sort of government policy that has some major changes, and the Tax Act would be a good example of that. The second would be the economy. You can't control the economy, but the economy obviously has a big impact. But I think the important thing to remember is it impacts people differently depending on how old they are at the time. And I could walk you through the Great Recession and how people aged in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, it impacted very differently. The third would be new technologies, and everybody's talking about the self-driving car is a good example. And then the fourth would be societal shifts that are very hard to predict, like people getting married before they have kids or after they have kids instead of before they have kids, and other things that create housing demand.
Okay. Doug, are you surprised by the strength of the economy?
No. The
shucks.
The interesting question is how long it will remain strong. The bet that was in the tax bill was if you cut corporate taxes, will business fixed investment pick up because the hurdle rate for new investments is lower?
Okay.
Will that generate productivity? And will that, and the cut, the tax cut on the personal tax side, will increase after-tax returns to going to work? And the one question was, are there people actually sitting on the sideline that can come in and do that? Or will the Fed see all this as inflationary because unemployment gets too low? So the our view was, if you looked at the data, there were people still there to go to work. The complicating factor, which I suggested questions how long this will go, is that then after the tax bill, there was this huge spending bill that had no related revenue, which is going to increase our debt and deficit, and the Fed's going to respond to that. But the growth, the initial burst of growth, we didn't forecast it as high as it. We didn't forecast 4.2, but we were over 3.
We're in our ninth year of recovery. Isn't that unusually long?
Well, we had a recovery about that long in the 80s. We had another one in the 90s.
Okay.
It's been unusually weak to be that long. This is the weakest recovery post-World War II.
Does that mean it may give it a reason to have more legs?
Well, what I tell people is just because it's old doesn't mean it will die.
Yeah.
However, all of them have. I'm operating on that basis myself, too.
The reason this is important, there's a lot of people here that attended a seminar I taught about 2 years ago, and I said it had a title, 2% mortgage rates and $40 trillion in debt, and I thought we would have a recession by the end of 2018, and then we'd have a reduction in interest rates, and that didn't occur. Sorry, I'm sorry about that. I really am.
Well, before the tax cut, we had a recession near term, but that changed it.
Now you confess to that.
Yeah. Okay. He's got so many forecasts. He's worked out one that was right.
Absolutely. If you're going to forecast often.
Right.
So government policy, you mentioned one, but there's another one that really is significant to real estate very recently, and that's increasing the standard deduction.
Yeah.
How do you think that influences real estate?
Well, do you want to talk about California or elsewhere? Because really, the standard deduction has not been an issue for people buying homes in most parts of the country for quite some time, because when it got to $12,000 and mortgage rates were 4 and the home price was $250, you weren't getting a deduction. So outside of California, that has been disappearing for a long time. And I know it's a benefit, and I think it's a hurt to the young, affluent people that are trying to buy along the coasts. But I really don't think it's a major issue. I think people still want to buy homes, and they'll figure out a way to do it. And, you know, that may hurt you, but you're also got a 4.5% interest rate, which isn't too bad.
And the bottom 30% of income tax filers have never itemized. They all have taken the standard deduction.
Okay. So you don't see that. It's one thing.
It's hurting a small percentage of people nationally.
Okay. Doug, what usually causes recessions to start?
Normally it's some imbalance, whether it's in the goods sector or inventories, oversized inventories, or it could be in the credit market. It's a little bit different every time. So if somebody tells you with certainty what will cause the next recession, be suspicious.
Okay.
There are some things out there that we think are worth watching, like the covenants in some commercial debt and the level of commercial debt that's out there. The Dodd-Frank changed some things in who makes markets in some kinds of credit markets, and it moved out of the banking sector
private sector? No?
That's a good try.
It's a good try.
It's a heck of a deal.
I was trying to think about my answer. I wasn't listening to you.
The shadow banking sector. That's what I was trying to think of. Sorry about that. I'm on East Coast time. And the question is, if there is a shock in the financial market, will they have the balance sheet that will allow the continued liquidity in that space? That's one of the things people are worrying about today.
Can I answer that? Because I think I've got a simpler answer. So, I'm not putting. You insulted him when you said he's one of the top economists, because he is the top.
Okay, thank you.
I told him that on the way up here.
Not if he asked my mother.
Yeah. 11 of the last 12 recessions, going back to the one in the 1929, were caused by excessive debt. Industries that grew too fast and borrowed too much money to do it, and I can show you the 11 of the 12. The only one was the Bretton Woods Act that was different in the 70s. So that's exactly where I look. And it's consistent with what Doug said. Who's got growing too fast and borrowing too much money? And there's a lot of areas you can look at, particularly in the bond market right now. And it's not the housing market, it's other industries.
A fun fact, at the peak in 2007, global debt to GDP was 287%.
Okay.
Today, It's 295%.
Yeah. Mortgages are down, but everything else is up.
Absolutely. Wow.
John, you said you were really concerned about the health sector. As far as, is that the type of thing you're concerned about?
Publicly traded health companies have 300% more debt than they did in 2009.
Okay.
You do the math. And I was sitting next to somebody in the healthcare industry, so I'm going to have to answer to that when I get to get back there. But they're growing. They're the bond, and I'm talking about publicly traded companies. The bond market's been wide open, wide open. The S&P and Moody's have both said this. The if you add up all the ratings they've done of companies that have borrowed, it's the lowest ratings ever. And why not? If you're running a business, you can get fixed rate debt or adjustable rate debt, super low, really cheap to grow your business. Of course, you're going to do it.
One of the problems with the last debt cycle is there were bets against the outcome called collateralized debt obligations. That now do we have that in great quantity only in different industries?
That's my understanding, is that they've cut up the corporate debt markets just like they cut up the mortgage market last time, and they're selling all sorts of tranches to insurance companies. And there's been articles in Bloomberg and other places on this, so it's public info, it's just not getting a lot of attention.
Okay. So we have potentially something that could happen there that would cascade into other areas, obviously. Stock market wouldn't like that, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my area of expertise. It's just something I want to know more about.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about an area of expertise that you do have. And you talk about those four factors. One of them was societal shifts. So during the next 10 years, there's over 65 is going to grow by 10 million people.
Yeah.
The next category down is going to grow almost none. And then the category under 45 will have 3.3 million. So what are the ramifications for housing for those sectors, and how can investors do the right thing?
Yeah, you're seeing one of the ramifications right now is that the move-up market is slowed. I mean, there literally are fewer people in their 40s than there were 10 years ago. So, and you typically buy a move-up home in your late 30s or early 40s. It's not down dramatically, but it's not a growth market. And then you throw on top of that the fact that those people are moving up, but their current mortgage is 3.5, and honey, you want to move and give up our 3.5 and go get a 4.5. We actually surveyed 8,500 homeowners, and about a quarter of them said, I would not move in that scenario. So we think that's about an 11% reduction overall to existing home sales volume that we're going through with, between the demographics and the rising interest rate. That's not a death knell for housing. It's just fewer transactions.
Okay.
And it's also fewer homes on the market. So it's not, that's why people forget that. So it's fewer buyers, but it's also they're not listing their home either, so you see fewer transactions.
What about the 10 million more people turning 65 and over? How does that affect housing?
My numbers, I think, are actually 18 million over the next 10 years. So it's a very big number. Their shift is, it used to be, I'm hitting retirement, I'm going to go play golf. Now I'm going to find where my kids got a job and the grandkids are, and so we're seeing them move to those areas. We're doing a lot of feasibility work where people are selling their homes or maybe keeping it or renting it out, and then turning around and becoming renters. So actually older homeowners turning into renters for a variety of reasons, and maybe one is the lack of a tax deduction.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris with the Norris Group. You are not going to want to miss our final event for 2018. It's our Cutting Edge Financial Tactics Brunch coming up October 27th in Costa Mesa, California. Last year was so successful, we brought them all back for another session. We all get tired of hearing, talk to your CPA, talk to your attorney. Well, what if you put them all on stage, beating up some of the most advanced questions you've got as a real estate investor? Well, that's what we did. So this year, if you're going to participate, we ask that you watch the entire show from last year on Amazon Prime. So this year, we can cover more difficult topics. Our guests include Karn Hall with UDirect IRA, Bill Exeter with Exeter 1031 Exchange, Amanda Hahn and Mac McFarland with Keystone CPA, and Harry Barth with Barth Calderon Attorneys. We'll hope to see you there October 27th in Costa Mesa.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate. Coldwell Banker Town & Country, Guaranteed Rate, and Nathan Chipoya, In A Day Development. Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Jason Thorman with Coldwell Banker, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keystone CPA, LA South RIA, Las Brisas Escrow, Michael Ryan and Associates, New Western, NorCal RIA, NSDREI, Orange County Real Estate Investors, The Outspoken Investor, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Pilot Limousine, Real Wealth Network, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, SJREI, Spinnaker Loans, South OC RIA, Tri-County Association of Realtors, UDirect IRA Services, White House Catering. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.